This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings. Welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. The website will have this program on it. You can re-listen to it there. It'll have the weekly meditation on it that I prepare once a week. And it has a wealth of other information that you might find helpful. So if you want to contact me and make comments on the programs or leave us with prayer requests, or if you want to re-listen to this program and read some of the information on my website, please get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to again look at the Lord as an accountant. I'm going to emphasize 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 16, which says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of His Word. Now, as I said, we've been looking at the Lord as an accountant who knows all about income statements, knows all about balance sheets. He knows how to make projections. We've looked at that, and we said that the accountant, when he makes projections, he may make helpful projections, but he doesn't always make accurate projections, but the Lord makes accurate projections. And then we've looked at the Lord as an auditor, and we noted that the unsaved will be audited at the great white throne judgment. We do not believe that the saved are there. I mentioned that the saved appear at the judgment seat of Christ. I mentioned that last time, and I think I mentioned 1 Corinthians 5 when I should have given the reference as 2 Corinthians 5, where the judgment seat of Christ is mentioned. It's mentioned in at least one, if not two, other places as well. The judgment seat of Christ has to do with the faithfulness of a Christian. It has nothing to do with the entry into heaven. We noted last time when the Lord audits the unsaved, they'll get a chance to face the fact that they didn't deal with their sin. The Bible will be opened. We'll find the book of life that has the record of names that are written in the Lamb's book of life will be opened. We noted that likely there's a record of the sins of the individual that will be opened, and the person will get a chance to face the fact that down here, if they had read Romans 3, where it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or where it says there is none righteous, no, not one, and if they had dealt with that down here, they could have been judged based on the work of Christ. But because they didn't deal with that down here, they'll be judged based on their own works, and the Bible has already declared that they're guilty, that their works have sin in them, and that sin has to be judged and forgiven. So we see that the entry into heaven is the thing that is being audited when you come to the judgment seat of Christ, and those that were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life were cast into the lake of fire, a terrible ending for those who live for self down here. But when we look at the Christian, people say, well, Christians can do whatever they want and still be saved. Well, because we are saved based on what Christ has done for us, and not based on what we are doing for Christ, there's a sense in which that would be true. But I've always liked the older preacher that I preached with who used to say, yes, I can do whatever I want to after I'm saved and still be saved. But after I'm saved, I want to please Christ. If he loved me that much that he would give his life for me, now I want to please Christ. And I think that's what the new birth is all about. The unsaved who are criticizing salvation by grace through faith don't understand the change that takes place in a person's attitudes after they are saved, and how that the person who would make such a sacrifice for them, being the Lord Jesus, of course, how that person would be the one that we would want to please. But keeping in mind that even though entry into heaven, entry into glory is settled in this life based on our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us at the cross, yet the Christian will be audited. They will be reviewed. And it will be as to their faithfulness. And we understand that there will be crowns given. There will be rewards given. There will be positions of service that will be established in as we serve the Lord in eternity. And I don't understand all those things. I don't think that this is supposed to be a great competition to see who can get the best reward, because the best reward, of course, is the Lord himself. I think even Abraham said, "The Lord is my shield and my exceeding great reward." But there is a review, and there are some Christians who are going to be ashamed at that review. And there are going to be some Christians who are going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But that review has nothing to do with the great white throne, where people are forced to face the fact that they wouldn't confess that they were sinners in need of a Savior, and they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we think of the Lord being an auditor, he knows how to review the Christian. He knows how to review those who are not Christians. Now, what I've read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 really has to do with the outlook of a Christian. I think it's the outlook of most people who are really living to please an eternal God. There was Paul on the Damascus Road was making progress in spiritual things, he thought. He thought he was serving Jehovah when in fact he was not. He thought he was serving the Pharisees and he was going to be a leader of the Jews. I'm sure he thought at some point he would be one of the leaders of the Jews. He would be part of the Council of the Sanhedrin and he would be able to help rule the Jews. He turned his back on all of that on the Damascus Road, and he was willing to be martyred with regard to his service for the Lord. He didn't count his present life to be worth anything. And so he was making his decisions for the long run and not for the short run. And so when we look at God as an accountant, one thing that an accountant does is he takes the data that is being collected in the accounting system and tries to use it in such a way that management can make proper decisions with it. And one of the things that management has to consider is whether they're making decisions for the short run or whether they're making decisions for the long run. Now, in the long run, people say, if we are applying that to our lives, in the long run, people say we're all dead. So what's the point? Well, the point is that after we die, there's an existence that continues forever. And Paul realized that, and so he said what was happening now, his light affliction, was but for a moment. In other words, our lives are so short. Our lives are but a vapor, but appear for a little time and then pass away. But eternity is forever. We don't understand eternity. And Paul said he was not looking at the things which were temporary, that is, the things that existed in the short run in this life, but he was looking at the things which are eternal. And if we could just get people focused on that, that it's the eternal consequences of the decisions that we make that are really important, it would be helpful, because most of us make our decisions based on the short run. And when I say the short run, I'm not talking about today or tomorrow as much as I'm talking about this life, which is the short run decision, the long run decision, the long-term decision is to make a decision based on eternal existence. But yet in the short run, many people, myself included, will eat an extra piece of pie, not considering the long-term consequences of that, because it's pleasurable in the short run. And many people begin to take drugs because it's pleasurable and gives them a way to get through the day, but they don't realize that in the long run, it's going to take control of them and destroy them. And so even with regard to this life, we have temptations that we know we should avoid because they are not good for us in the long term, but we still don't make proper decisions because those decisions are pleasurable. And so we're taught from the time we're young to figure out what we want to be when we grow up, and to make sure we plan for our futures and to plan for our retirement and to get a nice nest egg and to get security. And we forget that all of those things are temporary things. And God has told us in Matthew 6 and verse 33 that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. How many of us really believe that? How many of us really live that way? Paul did. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we have to think about eternity, because if we think about time, the things that are temporary will let the desire to be successful, the desire to be popular, the desire to be rich, the desire to be wise, will let those things get in the way of our relationship with God. And we'll say, well, I have to do the best I can right now, because right now is what I'm dealing with. I'll let the long run, I'll let eternity take care of itself. But friend, the Lord has given us a Bible that tells us the way we take care of eternity is to plan for it now. Eternal life is so prevalent in our Bible. Eternity is so prevalent in our Bible. Not so much in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was an earthly people living in an earthly land with earthly promises. But in the New Testament, we're a spiritual people. If we're the Lord's, if we're saved, we're a spiritual people with spiritual promises and a spiritual land. And that spiritual land is in the Father's house. And it's a place where there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. Peter talks about that. He says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Peter knew that the future was more important than the here and now. And so the Lord wants us to be good stewards of what he has given us now. There's no doubt about that. He wants us to live for time in such a way that we are preparing properly for eternity. And he tells us that if we follow him, if we are ones who enjoy eternal life and a relationship with him because we are trusting him and following him, that we'll be taking up our crosses daily and following him. In other words, this life will amount to nothing. We'll be willing to die as Paul was in order to live for the Lord in the future. Now, I have to admit, when I speak on this, it condemns me, because I'm not sure I'm willing at this point to die for the Lord Jesus. I have to be honest about that. But I do know that I have made a lot of decisions that I would have made differently if the here and now was what I was living for, if I was trying to make sure that I had amassed wealth and security and all of the big houses and the enjoyments that this life has to offer. I've often said that if I had lived my life the way I thought I was going to live it, I'd have had a big house on a lake with a boat. And that's something I'll probably never have. And I don't miss it, because now that I'm serving the Lord, I don't have time for that. I have only time for the things that the Lord has motivated me to do for him. Now, I make a lot of mistakes, but I live not for the here and now. I don't live for the short run. Christians should not live for the short run. The unbeliever should consider the fact that the short run is temporary. We need to have eternal life and a permanent relationship with the Lord so we can enjoy the Father's house forever. Consider long-run consequences of your relationship with the Lord. Please do that. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless this lesson and those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus and pray in his worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.